Matthew chapter 5, we're going to look now at verses 10 through 12. We have talked about purity, we've talked about righteousness and right living. We've talked about peace, we've talked about humility in these Beatitudes. And now, this one is kind of wrapped up in all of those things, because when we live that away, people are not going to understand. When we live the way that Christ wants us to live, others are not always going to understand why we do that and why those things don't affect us like they do everyone else. And so we're going to read what Jesus said there in verse 10. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Notice the individuals that Jesus is talking about, they're persecuted not for doing wrong. They're persecuted for doing right. Don't misunderstand that. You can't be ugly to people and then when they retaliate, say, well, I'm just persecuted. God's going to bless me. It doesn't work quite like that. It says, God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right and doing things God's way, all right? So we're going to look at the next verse in verse 11. Scripture says, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Do you hear that? Jesus said that the Father was going to bless you when people mock you. How fun is it to be mocked? I don't know very many people who really like that. When they persecute you. When they lie about you. Oh yeah, we all love to be lied about. No way. None of us enjoy that part. We don't want to be lied about. Some of those lies are going to come because they don't understand. Some of those lies are going to come because they don't like what they see because, well, kind of like they were with Jesus, they were jealous. They want what we have. They don't realize it. It's jealousy. They're going to lie about you, going to mock you, going to persecute you, and say all sorts of evil things against you. Simply because you are a follower of Jesus. Now let's face it, church. This is where love's going to have to come in, isn't it? We're going to have to be able to love so that we can handle this, handle those things, and truly love them instead of getting angry about it and retaliating. And verse 12, Jesus continues. He says, be happy about it. Be very glad. He says, rejoice. Rejoice and be happy because when you are mocked, persecuted, made fun of, lied about, or otherwise, be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. They're not going to understand. A matter of fact, we're seeing a little bit more of this recently. It appears that many are calling what is right, they're calling that wrong. And they're calling what is wrong, calling that right. And they're calling that the thing that we want to move toward, the wrong things, and away from the right things, the things that would please and honor God. Isn't it upside down? Isn't it messed up? But let's be real. Jesus, when he when he walked this planet, things were pretty messed up then too. You had tax collectors who and government officials who were basically robbing everybody blind. And you had religious leaders who were trying to force people into doing the things that they wanted them to do that weren't necessarily righteous. And if Jesus had a problem with anybody when he walked this planet, it was the religious leaders, the people who were, they were snobs. They thought they had it all figured out, and they thought they were completely right with God, and then in the end, they were further from God than the people who didn't know anything because of their haughty heart, their prideful heart. Jesus reminds them, hey, the prophets were persecuted in the same way. You're gonna experience some of that. And how many know that all the apostles experienced persecution? Tradition has it that nearly every one of them was martyred, killed for their faith in Jesus. Not just made fun of or mocked. Peter was hung upside down on a cross. Let's see, what's our next scripture verse? John 15 and verse 20. Jesus speaking again, he says, do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would then listen to you. Jesus was persecuted, wasn't he? Again, I mentioned it, those religious leaders tried to trap Jesus on multiple accounts or countless different times. They tried to trap him. They tried to get him trapped in his word so they could use it against him. Matter of fact, they even lied. They even sent people to troublemakers to lie about what Jesus said and try to get him and trap him in those ways. And Jesus says, hey, you're not any greater than your master. We're going to experience those things. Unless, of course, we lower the standard in our life for comfortability. Unless we say, you know what, I'm going to let it slide because I don't want to have to face that. I'm not going to say anything. How many know that's kind of hard to do sometimes? I can't keep it in. Okay, I'm doing it, saying it, you know? I think that when we shrink back, and we're not always supposed to say something, I think we need to be led of the Lord in doing that because our goal isn't to go around offending everybody, but sometimes, guess what? Righteousness is going to offend other people who aren't righteous. Somebody said to me years and years ago, Do you just think you're holier than everybody else? You think you're holier than me. I said, if the shoe fits, then wear it. I'm not trying to be prideful, but I am trying to be holy. How about you, you know? And it's not a matter of comparison. It's just simply a matter of, are we living for Jesus or not? And when we are, you know what? Some people aren't going to like it. It's going to ruffle some feathers because in that regard, our light puts them to shame. And the light in us, that's Jesus, by the way, it exposes things in their life and makes them uncomfortable. So if you've ever wondered why that person just gets upset when you come around, it could be that. Or it could be that your mouth is too loose. I don't know. Jesus said, hey guys, slave is not greater than the master. They persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. But look at what he also says there at the end. But if they had listened to me, then they'll also listen to you. And so that helps us to understand that some of the those who will listen to us, it's possible they have a great relationship with Jesus, and they are in on His team, if you will. And so let's look at the next verse. Mark chapter 4. We're going to read this parable, and there's a few verses in the middle we're going to skip, but this is beyond where we're talking about today, but I think it still is going to be beneficial and apply, okay? We're talking about Jesus started out saying in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted, right? And here Mark writes about this parable that Jesus told. He says, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. The other day I brought in a 50-pound, well, what was left of a 50-pound bag of grass seed. And I was going to do it again this morning. I was going to do it a little different and ran out of time. But this parable is not as much about the seed. Excuse me. This parable is not as much about the seed. It says, though, listen. And Jesus began to tell this story, this parable. A farmer went out to plant some seed. And then verse 4, as he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Verse 5. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. All right, you with me so far? So what we have, this is really a parable about the soil, isn't it? It's a parable. Certainly the seed is in each one of them, and the seed is extremely important. But I believe that this parable is more about the types of soil. And we're going to see in a few minutes how the soil relates to each person's life and the way that they receive the seed. Let's continue. So now we're in verse 6. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Verse 7. Other seed fell among thorns and that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Verse 8. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil. There it is again, the soil. And they sprouted. This seed sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. I'm so glad that Jesus, in a few verses, and in our next verse of summer, verse 9, he begins to, then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen. Let's go ahead and go to verse 9. Thank you. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And we're going to skip a few verses, and we're going to go to this next one, verse 13. And Jesus begins to explain this parable to his disciples. And we're privileged to get some of that information here. Then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? Verse 14, the farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. That's important. That's important. The seed is God's word. Okay, we take that seed, and I remember my dad when I was younger. He had this little spreader that he had a little strap that went around his neck or shoulders, and he just did like this, and he spread it, and he could control that real good that way. If it was more bare there, he'd kind of slow down a little more, and then other times I've spread it with the little doodad you push, right? And so the seed is extremely important. The seed represents the word of God. Everybody needs the word. It's not just for some people, it's for everybody, isn't it? But how? We're not Jews. We can still gain and receive from the word and gain wisdom from it. We need the word of God. The seed is the word. And really, you and I are the farmers. We're the farmers. Are we spreading any seed? Are we throwing out any seed at all? Or are we just, it's not even, it's just in the bag in the shed. It doesn't need to stay in the bag in the shed. The seed needs to be tossed out. But then the soil is the people that we're sharing the seed with. The soil is this, those individuals, their hearts of those who we share the Word of God with. The farmer plants seed by taking God's Word to others. So the seed is the Word of God. And the next verse, verse 15, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The footpath, it's got a lot of traffic on it, right? And it's pressed down. That soil's a little bit harder. It's not been tilled up like a field where that, you know, if you've ever walked through some of the fields that are cultivated often, your foot will go into that soil a little bit. Not on the footpath, right? Not on the driveway. So the seed goes out, and even on that kind of soil, it doesn't penetrate. It just stays on the top most of the time. And then Jesus said, the birds will even come in, and that's one of the things they eat, right? And they will eat on that. And Jesus likened that to Satan coming and taking the seed away. Doesn't that make you mad? That makes me mad. How many of you have invested in someone and you've poured out the word and you've sown seed and watered that seed and then they're back doing the things that the Lord had delivered them from? It makes me mad. Verse 16. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. All right, so this is rocky soil, dirt that has a bunch of rocks in it, like parts of my yard. Oh, you have them too. The soil, the seed, there's just so many rocks that there's not as much dirt as necessary. And those can kind of choke them out. Let's look at verse 17. But they immediately receive the word with joy. But look here in verse 17. But since they don't have deep roots because of the rocks, there's so many rocks. Those rocks prevent the roots of this of the plant. They prevent the roots from going down and getting all the nutrients that they're going to need. Since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted. There it is again. As soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing in God's word, they fall away. They wither and die because they don't have deep roots. How's your root system? How's your root system? Are there too many rocks in the way, preventing you from getting the nutrients that you need? You see, those rocks are the problems, the circumstances of life, or the persecutions, the people that mock us. Is that going to slow you down, or are you heading straight to Jesus? Don't let those things slow you down. We're all going to have problems. We're all going to have those. It's part of being a human being. And that when we make a decision to follow Christ, it's almost as if we've got a target on our back now because of the enemy. He hates us. One reason he hates us is because we can be redeemed and he can't. So there's that jealousy thing going on again. How's your root system? How's the soil of your heart? Has it been trampled? And unfortunately, sometimes that's the way some people feel, you know. This is one way that I pray. Not all the time, but some of the time I pray this way. Father, till the soil of people's hearts. Till it. Because especially on the foot, in the footpath, where it's been walked on a lot, it's pressed down. It's not loose enough to receive to receive seed. And so we need to ask the Holy Spirit to till the soil of their hearts. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to do that. And you know what? Sometimes we need to do it too. Lord, till the soil of my heart. Lord, make sure that I'm not getting hard and callous. Make sure that whatever you're wanting to do, that the soil of my heart is going to be a fertile place for that to take place. And let's look at our next verse. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word. Okay, so there's thorns and other weeds. The seed falls over there in verse 19. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things. So no fruit is produced. You see the issues there? We've got three different types of soil that are no gouda, no bueno. The soil of the footpath, the soil that's got the thorns in it, the soil that's got too many rocks. There's only one type of soil that we need, and it's fertile soil. It's soil that's loose and not holding on too tightly to the things of this world. Soil of the heart that is open to the things of God and closed off to the things of the world. See, it said here, verse 19 there, Jesus said, the worries of this life crowded out, choked out the plant that grew from that seed, from God's word. Again, that makes me mad. Because we're always going to have problems. There's always going to be things that are going to be pulling us away. What do we do? Well, I think that we set our faces flint and we keep on heading toward the prize. Guess what? Wealth is not the prize. Jesus and heaven with him is the prize, isn't it? We want to be with him forever. That is the prize. Nothing of this world is the prize. Now, there can be blessings along the way because we serve and honor Christ, but those blessings are not the end. They're only blessings. So we got to keep our eyes fixed on Christ. We sang a couple of songs this morning dealing with forever, being with Jesus forever, worshiping him in his presence. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to consider on Sunday morning. And kind of set the tone for the rest of the week. That eternity is very, very long. You know that? Let's pursue Christ. Let's know Jesus. And let's run after him instead of getting worried about all the issues, all the problems. Because they're going to be there. They're always going to be there. Especially if you're a homeowner. Yeah. See, I'm not lying. Y'all know what I'm talking about. There's always going to be something to do. There's always going to be something breaking down. Or, when we're living right, there's going to be those who don't understand us and maybe even speak out against us because of the righteousness that we portray and the light that we shine. People living in the dark don't like things shining on them. But that shouldn't keep us from living and being light. It means that we don't want to judge them. That's not our goal. Our goal is simply to give them the word of God so they can make that decision to follow Christ. Some of the time they're not going to understand and they're going to turn that around. You're going to be the enemy, and you're going to be the target. And Jesus said, be happy about that. That's different, isn't it? He said, rejoice in that, because you're going to be blessed for still living for me. You're going to be blessed for continuing to focus on me and run after me and do things my way instead of yielding and doing things their way. I'm going to bless you in the end. And that's a promise. How cool is that? We have this wonderful privilege of knowing the Master. They persecuted him. They tried to trap him. Maybe you've had some conversations at work or with neighbors where they were asking you questions and trying to trap you in things. Those things are normal. Let us take the word and spread it. Let us continue to spread the word. And we can do that. We can do that many, many ways. The number one way is simply being light to folks and being love to them. And let's face it, there's a lot of folks in our area who could use it. Matter of fact, I told another pastor, a local pastor here in town a few weeks ago, I said, you know what, brother? I'm not competing with you. There's more than enough people in this area to fill all of our churches. We're not in competition. I'm not in competition with you. I just simply want to reach people with the gospel. I want people to enter a relationship with Jesus because of the testimony of Christ that we preach and that we want to live out in front of them. Let's do that. Let us live it out in front of them so they can see that and see what that looks like. Let's move on to the next scripture. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word. I already read this, didn't I? And produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as been planted. Kind of goes back to that. Each one reaching one. Each one of us sharing, spreading the seed, spreading the light, spreading the love of Christ so others can enter a relationship with him. And then as we do, then the goal would be that they would then also share it with someone else. Isn't that beautiful? And help them to understand what Jesus said. Hey, we've got to live a righteous life. And sometimes people aren't going to understand that. They're going to make fun of us. We just keep on moving ahead. Just keep on going forward. Keep our eyes on Jesus. He's the prize. Nothing else is. Because anything else that we think is the prize will only leave us empty. We were made to worship the Lord. We were made to worship him. He is the one that we were created to worship. And what a blessing that is. And so this passage, this parable is about the heart. The soil is the heart of individuals. So let's let our hearts be soft and pliable in the Lord's hand and allow him to do what he wants to do in us and through us. Are you thankful for what he's done? All right. Are there any other scriptures? Go ahead. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. In his justice, he will pay back those who persecute you. Verse 7. And God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted, and also for us when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven. He will come with his mighty angels. So this is a wonderful promise, helping us to realize that, listen, even though we deal with persecution, guess what? God's going to deal with those who've persecuted us, and he's going to provide us rest. Amen? and we will be with him forever. What a blessing that's going to be. And so I just challenge you this morning. Make sure the soil of your heart is tilled up and soft and pliable so that he can use you. And he might plant different seeds in your heart at different times. Really, the ultimate seed there is the gospel. And we certainly want that to go forth out of our lives. And what a blessing and privilege that is. Let's see here. We're going to receive communion here. Charles Antweiler, would you help us? Mike Kelly, looking around. Let's see. Would you mind helping us, Charles? Do what? Yeah, would you? Chuck Myrick, would you help us as well, please? All right. Well, welcome to August. It snuck up on you because you guys thought it wasn't Communion Sunday, or some of you did.